Now can you hear me?
Yeah.
My bad. Now, I was just saying, it was reminding me of my old days at Sears, climbing up on roofs, climbing up here, and can't say that I missed that too much, but at any rate, here we are. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Easter morning, isn't that beautiful? It's just beautiful today. And are you hearing too much wind on the microphone? A little bit, but not bad. You can hear me good? Okay. Well, last week it was blowing so hard. So this week, doing a lot better. So praise the Lord for the small little blessings that we have. So today's Easter Sunday, a day we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead in victory over sin and death. Too much wind noise? No? All right. Thereby offering eternal life to everyone who believes. But in reality, see, here's the thing. In reality, not everyone believes. We rejoice because of, we know. And, you know, the message, you know, six questions every person must answer. You all have answered those questions already, I assume, most of you, if not all of you. But we're going to go over those questions because it does impact us today. And in the end, the answers to these questions, what do I got here? Okay. Lots of wind noise. Okay. Yeah, lots of wind all of a sudden. Naturally. All right. Let's see if it... How's that? Is that better? I hope. Can you still hear me? All right. All right. Ah, the challenges. So anyway, we all answer these six questions. And in the end, that determines our eternity. And every person answers these questions, whether they know the questions are there or not. And I'm getting these questions mostly from the book of Mark. We have Mark chapter 15, 1 through 15. And then at the very end, we'll be turning to John chapter 18. And let me just read the passage in Mark. It says, as soon as it was morning, the chief priests had a meeting with the elders, the scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin. And after tying Jesus up, they led him away and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He answered, you have said it. And the chief priests began to accuse him of many things. Then Pilate questioned him again, are you not answering anything? Look how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus still did not answer anything, so Pilate was amazed. At the festival, it was Pilate's custom to release for the people a prisoner they requested. There was one named Barabbas, who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. So Pilate answered them, do you want me to release the king of Jews for you? For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate asked them again, then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews? And again they shouted, crucify him. And then Pilate said to them, why? What has he done wrong? But they shouted, crucify him all the more. And then, willing to gratify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. So here we have the passage, and you say, well, this is Easter. You know, why are you reading this? This was Easter. Well, as I preached a couple weeks ago, to appreciate the light, you got to experience the darkness. To appreciate, like this day right here, I really appreciate And the same thing with the resurrection. To appreciate, how to understand what Jesus went through. And so today we're going to look at these six questions. And hopefully, I think some of you may not have the outline. Some of the people that came after I had to go in. But I'll try to. We have, in verse 2, Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" This is a question of person. Of person. In other words, who are you, Jesus? He says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He's asking him, "Who are you? Who are you?" And in John 14, 9, Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He who has seen me has seen the Father. So what is that saying? Well, who are you, Jesus? Jesus is God. He's God. There's a lot of different thought processes about this. Some people don't believe he's God. They believe he's a man. They may say, well, he's the Son of God, but he's not God. No, Jesus is God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In another place, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And so the problem is, every one of us, every single person has to do something with Jesus. They have to come to a place where they know, or they answer this question, who is he? Is he just some man that lived in the past? Some people even think he never existed. Some people acknowledge he existed, but that he was just another prophet. Some people say, well, he was just a good man, and that was it. But the truth is, Jesus is God. In fact, Jesus himself asked the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ?" In Matthew 22. He looked at him and he says, "What think ye of Christ?" And that same question we have to answer. What do we think of Christ? Who do we say he is? What do we think his purpose is? Which brings us to the next question in verses 3 through 5. We have a question of purpose. Before we had a question of person, but now we have a question of purpose. And in verse 4, Pilate questioned him again. Are you not answering anything? Look how many things they are accusing you of. In other words, what have you done? Why are you here? Look what they're accusing you of. And the answer to that is, why did Jesus come? To demonstrate God's love and provide a way to bring people to heaven. It was to demonstrate God's love. God could just say, "I love you," and then have done nothing. And would that have spoke very much to us? I think not. We just say, well, he's just a God. As some people believe, the deists believe, yeah, he's just up there, he created everything, and now he's just sitting back letting all this unfold. But that's not true. God intervened in humanity. And how did he intervene? He manifested himself as a child to be born of man and live a life here on earth and then die, sacrifice that life for you and for me. That's purpose. And that's how he demonstrated love. John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on and says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Listen, if you are a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're his friend, and he laid down his life for you. Now, if there's anyone that's hearing my voice, whether it's on the web or maybe sitting in a car here, if you have never experienced salvation, if you've never experienced a relationship with God, that's why he came. He loves you, and he died for you, that you may live. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, your hearts must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. So, see, the Lord wants us to be where he is. Now, for a time, we are here. We're here on this life, in this life, on this place. and we're living, and we're going about our day in all different kinds of ways. But the bottom line is, God, at some time, there's going to be a reckoning, and we're either going to be with God or we're not. And it's all about what we do with Jesus. But that was His purpose, to demonstrate God's love. How, in what greater way could you show somebody you love them than to sacrifice your own son? You only had one child only, and you sacrificed him. There's no more coming, there's never going to be any more, and you sacrifice him so that someone else would live. What greater way can you show your love than that? There's no greater way. It was enough in that one act. It was enough. Then in verses 6 through 10, we have a question of position. A question of position. In other words, what should I do? In 6 through 10, the crowd's asking him, there's Barabbas. Pilate has a tradition at the Passover. He's going to release somebody. And he says this. He says, "Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" And it says he even knew that it was because of envy that the chief priest handed him over. I mean, he knows this isn't a right trial. He knows that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And yet, he's like, "What do you want me to do?" And it's really his position. Because your position on Jesus determines what you do. Your position on who He is and why He came, that will determine what you believe and what you do. And Jesus is like, He's not quite believing it, what they're saying. And he's saying, "Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" He says, "My position at this moment, I'm kind of sensing that you guys are setting this guy up and he's not guilty. But at the same time, there's this question of pressure, which is what comes next. It was a question of purpose and position, and now pressure, because he says, "Do you want me to release him?" But in verse 11, it says they stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas. And so Pilate asks him a question again. And he says, "Then, what do you want me to do with the one you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted, "Crucify him." It's a question of pressure. He's feeling pressured. He knew that the Pharisees and the scribes had set this guy up. He's looking at this man. He doesn't know really who Jesus is. But he does know that he really hasn't done anything wrong. And so he says, what do you want me to do? And then they're shouting, "Crucify." There's pressure on him. Even though he can't find any fault in Jesus, there's pressure on him to do something he really doesn't want to do. And any time you have a spiritual decision to make, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be pressure from the adversary. There's going to be, in the life of the Christian, you're also going to have good pressure from the Holy Spirit. Have you ever experienced that? You kind of know, you're making a decision, and it's something you want, it's something you're for. You kind of want that, but in the back of your mind, really I shouldn't do this. This would not be a good idea. This would not be a good decision for me. And yet, we have this pressure back and forth. What is that pressure? You got Satan trying to bring you down. You got Satan trying to destroy your life. And yet, at the same time, you've got the Holy Spirit saying, "Come on, you know my word, you know the truth. Have a little faith and do what is right and trust me for the outcome." And we are faced with that a lot in our lives. Over the years, we have been faced with that many times. There's always a question of pressure. And the question is, who do I listen to? Who do I listen to? And if you're here today in this meeting here, or if you're there online and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's right now this conversation going on in your mind, and the Holy Spirit is drawing you and saying, "These are words of truth. These are words you need to listen to. You're going to need to make a decision." And then the adversary is saying, "Oh, you're good. You're just as good right here. You're better than all these people. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. You know, that pastor up there, he's no better than you. And you know what that is? No better than you. But I'm going to have it better than you if you don't know the Lord because of what Jesus did. And so it's my prayer that you will think really hard on this decision that is being placed in front of you today. So it's a question of pressure. Who are you going to listen to? But then lastly, the fifth question, the last in this passage, is a question of path. A question of path. Because he says, what do you want me to do? And they shouted, crucify. And then in verse 14, Pilate says, why? What has he done wrong? But they shouted, crucify him all the more. And then he made his choice. In verse 15, it says, then, willing to gratify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. Pilate made a choice. He knew there was nothing there, but there was pressure. There was no facts. There was no evidence to convict Christ of what they were clamoring for. And yet, he made a choice. He listened to the pressure. He gave in. What choice do I make is the question. And the answer really is, every person makes a choice. We are all making choices every day. And in this case, it's either you accept Jesus or you reject him. That is the choice. If you do not know the Lord in a personal way, you have a choice to make. And you're either going to reject what I'm saying to you today, or you're going to accept it and become a believer, become a Christian. Enter into a relationship with the living God. Because you see, the path that you're on, you're at a crossroads. You've come to a fork in the road, and there's two ways to go. And your choice determines your path, and therefore your eternity. That's what your choice does. And in this case, you know, the Bible, it says in another place there's two paths. One of them's real wide. There's a wide gate, a wide path that people will go down. It says many will go down this path. But then it says there's a narrow path, and few be that find it. But you are blessed. You have heard this message. You realize there's a path, and that path leads to Jesus Christ, and that path leads to salvation. And you're having an opportunity right here to make a choice as to the path you're on. Because you see, that's what the resurrection's all about. The resurrection is about the victory over sin and death, because each one of us has done things wrong, and we deserve to die, and we deserve hell. And that's just the truth. And that's the path every one of us was on at one time in our life. But those that believe the truth and choose the path that leads to righteousness, we avoid hell. And we get blessed with heaven. But there's one more question that Pilate asked, and it may be the most profound question of all. Of all these. And it's found in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And I'll read the passage. It's verses 37, 38. But I'm going to read 36 as well. And it's what I read at the beginning. And Pilate, actually, 35 says, your own nation has handed you over to me. What have you done? He replied, my kingdom is not this world. My servants would fight. As it is, my kingdom does not. Pilate asked, you're a king then? And Jesus replied, yes. And then this is a very powerful statement that Jesus makes. I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And I'm asking you today to listen to the voice of Jesus. It is truth what he says. It is truth. And in fact, Then this in verse 38, what is truth, said Pilate. What is truth? And he asked it to the one guy that could definitively tell it to him. And he didn't hang around for the answer. That's an amazing thing to me. What is truth? Said Pilate. And then the Bible says, after he said this, he went out to the Jews and told them, I find no grounds for charging him. I still don't find anything wrong. But we know the story. He turned him over. He turned him over to the Romans to be crucified. And so this question here, what is truth? That is a question to ponder. Because you see, we've got a question of person. Who is Jesus? Of purpose. Why did he come? Of position. You know, what should I do? Of pressure. Who do I listen to? A question of path. What choice do I make? And now that all leads us to this one point right here. A question to ponder. We take all these things into consideration, and then we have to come with, what is truth? I've just heard all these things. What is truth? Is truth, is this the truth? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a Savior? Is there an answer? In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, you have these two gates. There's a gate that a lot of people and then there's a narrow gate. And what's that narrow gate? That narrow gate is Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, they say, well, there's many ways to heaven. We just worship in our way. I'm sorry. The truth is, there's only one way. Jesus Christ. He is the truth. In John chapter 8:31, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Well, a couple verses later in John 8:34, Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So what are you being freed from? Your sin. Your sin has bound you. Your sin has chained you. You are not free. You're walking around with a bunch of chains on. And then he says, therefore, if the Son sets you free, indeed. We are bound by sin, by our own sin. Jesus, when he rose from the dead on this day, 2,000 years ago, he set us free. That's the beauty of the resurrection. Died. He had paid the price ourselves, but he died. And then on that Easter morning, he rose from the dead, victory over sin and death. And we were set free if we just put our faith and trust in what he did on the cross. And God raised him from the dead. And in doing that, those are the keys to unlock the chains that hold you to this world. He has the keys. So what is truth? Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. And the truth is, Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin. We celebrate Easter because God raised him from the dead. And then he was seen by over 500 witnesses. Some people say, well, you know, they say that the disciples stole his body. You know, there's a lot of lies out there, okay? Because you see, everything boils down to truth and lies. It's either truth or it's a lie. But you know what? He was seen by over 500 people. And then he was witnessed ascending into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. The truth is that there is only one way to have a relationship with God, and that is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And based on that faith, You can ask God to forgive you. And you know what? He will. That's the truth. He will. The truth is that God will hear your prayer. And in His grace, grace meaning you don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it for you anyway. He will hear your prayer. In His grace, He will forgive you. And not only forgive you, He will adopt you into His family. And He will send His Holy Spirit to dwell within you, to be your guide, to be your teacher, to be your comforter, to be your interpreter of the Word of God so that you can read this Word and apply it to your life and live a life that would be pleasing to God and beneficial to yourself. The truth is, and hear me well, the truth is the only thing keeping you from a relationship with God and an eternity in heaven is you. The only thing keeping you from a relationship with God and an eternity in heaven is you. Because Jesus has already done it all. He's already paid the price for your sin. He's already risen in victory. And now it's up to you to listen to all these voices. You're going to have to answer all these questions. Who really is Jesus? What was His purpose? What's your own position on Jesus? Are you listening to the pressure? What are people telling you? What path are you going to make? Or what choice are you going to make that's going to put you on what path? And you need right now to ponder the truth that I have given you. The only thing that's keeping you is making a choice for Jesus. Every person in their life answers these questions. Whether they know the questions or not, they are making up their mind about Christ. And they are making decisions. Everyone makes a choice. It is my prayer that you choose Jesus. It is my prayer that you would choose Jesus. I'm going to have an invitation now. And it's just, you're in your cars, that's fine. This is between you and God anyway. It's between you and God. I'm going to give you some things to think about. The first thing I'm going to do is talk to those that may not know the Lord. They've not made that choice. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Have you chose Jesus? Have you done it? You've just heard the things I've said, the verses I've quoted. And if you're doubting the truth of this book, there's never been anything proven false in this book. It stands up to scrutiny. This book is truth. And I read you many verses out of this book. Have you chose Jesus? If not, you have an opportunity to do so right where you're at, whether you're in one of these cars or whether you're watching me online. You have an opportunity. For the rest of us, choices do not end with salvation. When you make that first choice and you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your choices are just beginning. You just made that first choice. And that was the best choice you'll ever make. But then after that, lots of choices are to be made. What choices are you making now, I challenge you? What are the choices you're making now? The things that you know in this Word, the things that are going on in your life, and there's a proper way, there's a way to respond to these choices that please God. And if you're one of His children, you know that. What choices are you making now? Maybe there's some choices you've made you regret, and you just need to make it right. I encourage you to do so. But maybe you're in the middle of choices right now. Maybe you're at a crossroads. You know, are you going to God? Are you going to His Word? Are you seeking Him first? These times that we're in right now, they seem like dark times. A lot of things going on. A lot of our freedoms are being curtailed. But you got to remember, just because it's dark right now, it doesn't mean it's going to stay dark. The darkness of Good Friday always gives way to the brightness of the resurrection. Remember that. The darkness of Good Friday always gives way to the brightness of the resurrection. Jesus arose in victory, and because he had victory, we can have victory. Take your solace in that. Things may not be going the way you like. You know, we're jumping through a lot of hoops right now, just the very fact we're doing all this. But you know what? His word still goes forth. It still goes forward. There's still people that need Jesus. And we need to have an attitude of hope, not an attitude of darkness or depression. We need to understand that God has already done the greatest miracle in us. And we need to share it with others. Most of us got a lot more time on our hands now than we used to. What are you doing with that time? See, that's a choice you make. That's another choice you make. Maybe you need to call somebody. You know, we can still use a phone. We can call somebody. We can encourage somebody. We can invite somebody to the presence of the Lord. You can witness to somebody. Can do a lot of things. We're, our hands are not handcuffed, at least not yet. We can do things. That's the invitation. Now I'm going to lead a prayer. There may be someone watching. You may have decided to make a choice today for Jesus, and I hope you have. And I'm going to lead a prayer. And it's just a prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart, basically, to become a Christian. And if you've made that decision today, but you're still not quite knowing how to do it, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then I'm just going to pray a line, and then you just repeat it to God. You're praying to God. You're not answering me. You're praying to God. The words do not save you. It is the belief in your heart. Okay? And your prayer to God, you ask Him, the words do not save you. It is your faith. And if you believe what I've presented to you today, you follow me in this prayer. And you pray it to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead in victory over sin and death. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask that Jesus would come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me from my sins. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you believed what you prayed, you have faith. You're not just repeating it. You prayed it. You were asking of God to do something miraculous, and you asked Him in faith. Then I got good news for you. Your path just changed. I've got good news for you. You're now on your way to heaven. And you know what has happened just now? God has forgiven you. He has sent the Holy Spirit to come and reside within you, to be your guide. He has given you understanding for the Word of God that you never had before. So you need to start reading your Word. And He's also adopted you into His family. You are now a child of the King, and you are able now to call Him Father. The Bible says, Abba, Daddy. You can do that. Because He is your Father. And now you're a brother or a sister to everyone that is a believer. Marvelous things have happened in you right now. And I would appreciate if you'd let me know if you made that choice. Those of you online or whatever, you can come to our church Facebook page and you can just type a short message and let us know what it is. Because we would like to rejoice in the decision you made. I'm going to pray another prayer, and it's for those of us that were already saved and we're here celebrating. I'd like to pray with you now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you just thankful for Jesus, thankful for the great resurrection, Lord, the victory you had over sin and death. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, loving us, even though we were really unlovable. And you loved us anyway, and you sent Jesus to die for us. We thank you for that. Lord God, help us to have good choices, to make good choices. Help us, Lord, to stand in the face of pressure. Help us, Lord, to pick the right path, Lord. Help us to ponder what we're doing, what is right, what is wrong. And then, Lord, to choose the right path. Lord God, give us great wisdom. Lord God, thank you for all that you're doing, even in the midst of this situation we're in now, Lord. You're still at work. You're still God. You're still sovereign. We praise you for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, well, let me just ask a question. If, I don't know, maybe somebody here accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you did, would you just toot your horn? Just thought I... Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. My email and my phone number are on that bulletin. And I'd appreciate it if you let me know. And we can have a little conversation if you have any questions. Thank you so much. What a day to get saved on. Resurrection Day.